Praise team, I remember the first time I heard your Breathe song, I was going 70 miles an hour. I don't know if I started to breathe, but I definitely reduced my speed. You might have saved me a ticket, but a beautiful song. Thank you for your ministry this morning. I want to tell you something that's kind of special to me. This is the first message I have prepared in the sanctuary of our new home. I spent most of my office hours this week reading books. But so it was very inspiring there, and my friends, they tease me about the verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just special for me to share that with you. I wanted to tell you something. I'm not starting to recognize some of you when you don't have your masks on. I'm serious. Like this morning in your car, Earl, I thought, who is that man? Who is Earl? Because I always see you with your mask on, so it's just good to see you. I was not able to spend my normal time in exegesis this week due to reading two books. I'm trying to understand myself better. I'm trying to understand others better, but it's very helpful for all. So let's just take a deep breath, and let's jump in together. How many breaths does the average adult breathe in 1 minute? 20? Okay. 12 to 20? Okay. Good. It is recorded that in 1 month, the average person breathes anywhere from 510,000 to twice that amount. Depending on if you're athletic or you're a child, you might breathe more. But just imagine the breaths that a person takes in their lifetime. Just such a big number. Years ago, Frank bought me this beautiful print that reads, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Don't you love that? Beautiful, beautiful. But you and I both know that life is not just measured by the time that takes our breath away. Life is measured often by the number of breaths that we take, and we need to make every one of them count. I believe what inspired me to consider this sermon series, When Life Takes Our Breath Away, the good, the sad, the bad, was inspired through all the time that you and I have spent in prayer during the year of 2020 so far. Do you feel like you've prayed more in 2020 than maybe any other year? I know I have. COVID-19, a global pandemic, has ravaged the world. Over 960,000 people have died, 200,000 being from our own country. These are estimates, but that's just some estimates. I can't breathe. Those were George Floyd's last words. You and I will never, ever forget those words. Racial awareness in our country has become front and center, and we have witnessed the injustice, the anger, the painful protests, and unfortunately, the violence. Weather has been unbelievable with just the total of hurricanes this far this year. I can't believe last week Sally was with me up here. I didn't even know there was another hurricane coming named Sally. I just can't even keep up with it. With floods and earthquake, much to pray for. Unbelievable forest fires are sweeping the West, fueled by even further stronger winds. Need I say more? Friday afternoon before the grandchildren came to spend the night, which is always so much fun, and they turned the house upside down. But Friday I went outside and I sat in the sun and in the wind for an hour. And it's the first time I've really been outside in 4 months. I think I've been out 1/2 hour one other time. And I almost felt guilty. I thought, Lord, there's so many people that are hurting right now. Their homes have been burned down. Their homes have been flooded and COVID and everything. I just felt guilty enjoying God's creation. When life takes our breath away in good, bad, and sad ways, they fuel our prayers for help, for peace, and for purpose. It's easy to have our breath taken away when we see a newborn baby, isn't it? We just love it. When we witness the first in the lives we love, maybe a first tooth or a first steps, crawling steps or something like that. We witness graduations that take our breath away. There are moments even in sports. How many of you caught that touchdown by Marshall yesterday? Well, I tell you what, you caught it? Who caught it? Nobody caught it? Well, I don't watch it, but my son has a degree from Marshall. And we turned on the TV to watch the news. And right then and there, this guy had a ball. And then he got knocked down. The ball went up the air. This other kid picked it up and made a touchdown with like this much space. It was breathtaking. That's the only thing I watched, but it was pretty good. We rejoice and our breath is taken away when we have our first jobs, when we experience weddings, sunrises and sunsets, snowfalls and rainbows. Many things in our life take our breath away. Anybody here want to share something that takes your breath away? In a good way, in a good way. Okay. When life takes our breath away, even in bad ways. If I would be honest with you this morning, nothing has shaped my character more than when life has taken my breath away in bad ways. People struggle just to stay alive. We fight demons, disease, and death, unemployment, the heartache of divorce, even things that separate people going in different directions. We wrestle, we hurt, but we heal. But we struggle. We struggle. Life could just come at you like being attacked by a football player from behind you. You don't see it coming. When life takes our breath away in sad ways, we wake up to the truth that life is but a fleeting moment. Just a fleeting moment. Loved ones pass away. Friends that are as close as family also. Teens experience their first heartache. Do you remember your first heartache when someone broke up with you? Anyone else remember that besides me? Okay, good. I remember when one of our children, someone broke up with them on a Saturday evening. The next day, I think I cried the whole Sunday morning preaching. I was so upset because my heart was home on the couch with them because I knew their heart was broken. It was just so hard to experience it. And then the rule came in the parsonage. Nobody was allowed to break up with our children on a Saturday night ever again. That was the rule. Because I just crashed and burned. I just should have stayed home. Children go to school and experience being excluded by their peers. Tyler, I appreciate you sharing what it was like to feel like a minnow in a big pond with a lot of big fish. When I started seminary, I didn't know anybody. And I remember when I went in the lunchroom, I felt that same feeling when I would go to a new school. And here I'm, 36 years old, feeling like I'm 10 again. And so thank you for sharing those pastoral words. Next week, our message will be on the book of Job in the Old Testament. Now, don't freak out. Emily's not going to have to type the entire book of Job on the thing. The worship leader will not have to read 42 chapters of Scripture, but I am going to ask you this. There are 42 chapters in the book of Job. If you would start today and read 6 chapters every day between now and Saturday, you would come to worship next Sunday having read the book of Job. And that would really help us all because there's so much to cover in his life, just a heartache life. This morning, I asked Frank to only read 2 pericopes, and I didn't show favoritism to my husband. It's because I learned my lesson from last week. Okay? Enough said. Too much. In Genesis 2, we are reminded of God's creation in mankind. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Because of this one verse, there are people today that believe that a person is not alive until they take their first breath. But when we look at the wholeness of Scripture, we also read in my favorite Psalm 139, 13 through 16, hear these words. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I've shared with you before that I am passionately pro-life, but I mean, when I talk about pro-life, I mean all life. I'm just really totally that way. So it's just the way I am. In fact, I have been teased before when I was a younger pastor. If somebody was pregnant in the church, we counted that person as two. We did, because I'm that passionate about life. You know, we got mom and baby. We got two. And I'm wondering, is there anybody here who has some news for us? Well, we can only pray, right?
Right.
Okay. Even though I told you I had to read some books this week and wasn't able to study like I love to study, I still believe this is the word for us today. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the Law. Just we know them, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this is what it says in one of those verses Frank read. Then Abraham breathed his last breath and died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his people. This phrase jumped out at me, and I am so surprised because I've read through Genesis many times, and I honestly can say I have never noticed the words, he was gathered to his people. It was there. Moses not only used that phrase to describe Moses, but Jacob and Ishmael and Isaac and others. But I just had never noticed them before. I've never read that in anyone's obituary that they lived an old life and then they were gathered to their people. I've read a lot of obituaries, but I've never read that. Moses described, I already told you that, yeah. Moses described that in many ways. I love how the authors of Scripture have their own personalities and there are certain things they share and you recognize that that's kind of like, you know, that's how Moses describes things. But I will never forget, I was sitting in a lecture at Circleville Bible College. I was a relatively new Christian. I was married to Frank at the time, I remember. I was in my third year of school, and, I was thinking, that when Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes unto my Father except through me. And I'm passionate about that. I share that at every funeral I preach. I love it. But it dawned on me, and I just felt like I'd had a heart attack. And I thought, oh, no. What happened to all the people that died before Jesus? And I was crying, and I was so upset. And I asked my professor. It was Steve McGuire, Frank. He was filling in that day. And I said, what happened to the people that died before Jesus? Because Jesus is the Savior of the world, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And I will never forget his words and the smile that was so reassuring. Kim, God's people are always with God. I was so relieved. And that's why this scripture has become so precious to me. And he was gathered to his people. I think that truth has found a home in my heart, and I could hardly wait to share that with you this morning. Hold on, I want to read one more thing. I don't know why I wear a thumb, it's not working, but I have a thumb, it's supposed to work. Often as I sit down and I try to help people plan their funeral, or I sit down with someone who's just lost a loved one and they're totally unprepared, many people will often ask me to read this particular poem. It's by Linda Ellis, and it's called The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates of her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of her birth and spoke the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way that others feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that that special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, when your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the way they said about how you spent your dash? Have you heard that before? Okay. Oh, okay, I thought everybody had it. It's beautiful. I'll make copies. And then we read this, and this is the thing that brings it all together. In Mark 15:37, we read these words. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Dr. Luke goes on to say that he said, Father, into your spirits I commit my spirit. When he had said that, he breathed his last. And I'm thinking about Jesus, you know, when he died, like Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and everybody, that he was gathered to his people just like Moses was. But I thought of something even more precious, that when Jesus Christ lived and died, not only did he resurrect to be with his people, but he died so that you and I might be gathered. We might be gathered in Christ and live forever with him. Life is precious. Life is short. Don't delay accepting Christ as your Savior. Thanks be to God. At this time, the praise team will come and sing a beautiful offertory.